Here we go. Hey there, folks. This is your host, Cameron Ivey of Privacy Please, and thank you so much for tuning in each and every week. If this is your first time, welcome to the show. Tell your friends about it if you like it. If you don't, let's just pretend you didn't listen to it. Thanks again for coming in, and we hope you enjoy the show. Alrighty then, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Privacy Please. I'm hanging out here with Gabe Gums, Cameron Ivey. It's another Monday, man. We got a special one for you, but before we kick things off, Gabe, how was your weekend? How you doing?
Weekend solid. It is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
How was yours?
Mine was pretty good. I can't complain. I know. Yeah. But we got a pretty special show here for our guests. I can't wait to talk to this gentleman. Funny enough, as we were waiting for him, I sent him an email. Actually, I'll bring it up when he's on because I think it'll be funnier. But for those of you listening that are obviously unaware, our guest today is Thomas Perkins. He invented Malcore.io, and he's a software reverse engineer who actually hacked into TikTok. So we'll dive more into that when we get into it, but let's go ahead and let him in.
Yeah. Hi.
There he is.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Thomas?
I'm reading about tacos, actually.
I got you. Yeah.
I'm hungry. Sorry. How are you guys doing today?
Also, we're good, man. We're good. Yeah, also hungry now. I live right down the street from a taco place. They make excellent tacos and burritos.
I'm about to go buy all this stuff and cook them.
There you go. what kind of burrito is your, or what kind of taco is your favorite taco?
I'm about to make steak tacos, man. These are going to be good. Okay. That's enough of that. Anyway.
So carne asada. Tacos,
the listeners can wait. We can talk.
I'm okay with that.
So carne asada tacos, definitely steak tacos. I would say those are the best kind of tacos, meat-wise.
Is the lighting fine in here?
Yeah, man, you look good, man.
Don't worry about it.
You look good.
The listeners are going to expect you to be in a dark, smoky room wearing a hooded sweatshirt anyway.
I'm still off for that
one now. No, lighting's good. Lighting's good. Audio's solid also. So, Thomas, welcome to the show. Gabe Gums, Cameron Ivey here. We start every show with one very straightforward question. Tell us about yourself.
A software engineer, actually. I'm good at reverse engineering because I kind of taught myself that while I was overseas. I was in the Army for like 6 years. And while I was in the Army, I decided to teach myself how to code and do all that stuff. And then, yeah, that's about it, man. I'm not that impressive.
Reverse engineering is fairly impressive. I'd say that's pretty impressive in and of itself. Did you start with like hardware reverse engineering, software reverse engineering? Like what was the thing that got you interested in reverse engineering in particular? Because it's a very different path than your normal kind of builder, breaker, defender. And you've already ticked off the boxes on building and breaking, but breaking has a lot of different paths that it takes. So what got you down that path? Was it, again, hardware mostly, software, some combination of the two?
I love malware. I think malware is the most interesting thing that there is. It's great. Like, I know that sounds bad, but I think malware is really, really cool. So I decided to figure out how it worked. So to start, what I used to do is I'd go find open directories on websites and just download all their files and start playing with them and throw them in IDA and Ghidra and stuff like that and see what I can figure out. So really what got me onto the reverse engineering thing is probably just malware in general. Just an interest in how to break things.
Can I tell you something? Mm-hmm. As a defender and builder for most of my professional career, although I started as an ethical hacker, I find malware not just fascinating. I think the principles of malware are also very well served in an actual resilient enterprise. When you think about the pure resilient nature of a malware network and how difficult it is to take them down, right? Versus, say, the IT infrastructure of those that are being taken down by these bots. There is not just something fascinating about them. I will wholly cop to sometimes using some of their design patterns and anti-patterns, right? Like, there's a lot of very interesting anti-patterns in malware in particular. What's the most interesting one you played with?
A few moments later.
There he is.
Yeah, everything just crashed. I just closed everything and that should be.
Hey, that usually does the trick.
That should help.
Reverse engineer that.
See, that's how you reverse engineer. Just close it all out. Call it here.
Software. Where were we? We were talking about the most interesting aspect of any particular piece of malware, a collection of, right? Like something that either makes it unique or like even evolutionary. Because we saw the business evolution of ransomware. Like we saw that tied to the technology movement also, where ransomware used to attack single machines, try and spread its way inside of an organization, and you know, it's basically smash and grab. And we see full evolution now to having affiliate models where you have lower level technical folks enter organizations. They bring in more technical folks to embed themselves deeper into the organization, locate their data, locate their backups, and then launch payloads, right? Like at a moment where they know they can do the most damage, have the most impact, because they try to leverage that ability to make them pay. But again, the question really is, like, along the evolution of all these things, like, what's one of the most interesting things that you've discovered any one particular piece of ransomware to do?
I saw a ransomware that was completely polymorphic, and it would remember how I replicated itself across multiple networks. It tried to do inside the network and go to every single computer, and it would add stuff to itself on every computer, so it would change completely. So when you found one, you wouldn't be able to find the other the same way. That one was really cool. And
fully polymorphic is fascinating.
It was completely 100% polymorphic. Different hash, different SSD, everything. Completely different. It was awesome.
I've heard some folks speculating that things like ChatGPT could make it a lot easier for malware to make itself polymorphic, right? Like, just, I'm not certain what the connection there is other than the ability to kind of maybe obfuscate code faster. But I don't know. Are there not that many polymorphic ransomware variants out there still?
That's the only one I've ever seen. Oh, I'm sure there's more. I'm sure there's more that I haven't seen. Like, people like Rapid7 and stuff see it all. They probably say that all the time, but that was the coolest one I've ever seen. So
you've, let me get this right. At least from my understanding, you invented something called Malcore. IO. So that's AI generated, right? What can you tell the listeners a little bit about that and kind of how that came about?
So I started a company with one of my friends, and we decided we wanted to create a sandbox together, do threat intel, stuff like that. And our original plan for Malcore was that it would be in JRSS, which is the biggest government SOC in the world. The problem was that they couldn't find a sandbox that was fast enough to implement into the firewall and handle the volume coming through. So I was like, okay, well, why don't we just do dynamic analysis through Docker instead and emulate it. So we created an emulation of a Windows environment that just runs the malware and shows you what API calls it makes. So it's fast, and it allows you to, since it uses so little compute power, it allows you to upload basically as many samples as you possibly can think of. And it can handle like document file. It can handle pretty much every file you can throw at it. So we ended up selling that, and now I work for the company that I sold it to, and I run the team that builds it out. So it's been three and a half years since I started it. And it, the website you see is the first time I've actually launched it. So,
So it's growing.
Yeah, it's and you- growing really, really, really fast. It's a little scary, to be honest with you.
Was that kind of the reason why you wanted to sell it? Did you not want to have to like deal with running the company kind of thing? Or what?
No, actually, the reason I wanted to sell it, well, we decided to sell it because really we weren't making any money at the company. And
yeah,
running a company is hard. Like, it's hard work. We made some money. We got some good connections and stuff like that, but we weren't making enough to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And it had come to the point, instead of coding full time, or I figure out what I'm going to either I go get a second job, what else to do. And the company we sold it to Internet 2.0. We had a relationship with them about some TikTok data that they let us look at.
A few moments later.
So Thomas, walk me back to the 60 Minutes episode. So they reach out originally and contact you to discuss what?
They reached out to Internet 2.0 to discuss TikTok. They wanted to do a documentary on it or something.
Right.
And my boss told me, hey, we're doing a documentary on 60 Minutes for TikTok. I'm like, hold on, what? And then I got flown to Australia and
That's cool.
Was on, and I did that. It took like a day. It took a long time for him to film. So they were filming for days. Like, it was a long time. And I sat down. My portion, I was there for like 3 hours, something like that, filming. And they asked me a bunch of questions, had me show them. On the way over there, I actually reversed in TikTok again to find some stuff and get the pictures and stuff. And I found some new things that were on there.
Anything you can talk about? What have you found over the years? You've reverse engineered TikTok a lot. And mm-hmm. there's been a lot of controversy around TikTok for no shortage of both real reasons and unfounded reasons. But you actually reverse engineered the technology itself that sits on users' devices. What have mm-hmm. you found?
Okay. So, ready? So, the newest version, there's a function called superlocation.
Okay.
So superlocation does exactly what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's not already.
It's how high off the ground you are, the speed you're moving, the direction you're facing, your GPS location. So TikTok's come out and said they don't take GPS data. They don't take proficient GPS data, right? But they walked that back after I was like, well, what's this? And so there's that. And there's this other portion.
You said they don't collect data that it turns out they do collect.
Mm-hmm. So then there's this other portion of TikTok that they changed after the Internet 2.0 white paper. It was a long loop that tried to access every API endpoint on an Android device.
Damn. Like
all of them.
Every single endpoint.
Every single one of them. And
it's the equivalent of doing like a port scan of someone's entire like network.
Right? Yeah, the whole thing. But So the thing is, it probably can't access them because you didn't give it permission.
Sure. Right? But it wants to see.
It still tries to access it.
To know what it has access to.
So you're talking about when you get that automated message on your phone, it says, do you want this app to track your location? And you say no. Does it still, that doesn't really matter. It's still trying to do it.
Still try, but it doesn't mean it can.
Okay.
So if you say no, like, so for example, contacts is a big one with TikTok.
Right.
And you try to access your contacts like every 1 to 5 minutes. If you say no, it'll keep asking you every 1 to 5 minutes if it can have access to your contacts. So the thing about TikTok is they're really
so persistent.
Yes.
So are you telling me that most people are either they said yes, or they deal with the 5 minute annoyance. Mm-hmm. And so the chances are no one's saying no.
Like, I was going to say no. You don't want to do that.
I've never installed the damn thing. So it's wild to me. That's crazy talk. I'm not giving it access to my contacts. See, the problem is I exist in other people's contacts though.
Mm-hmm. So thing is, they do it in an interesting way. It's a really persistent way. It's a good way to get what you want without looking bad. Because they still give you a time frame, and it just keeps asking and asking and asking and asking.
It's like that guy that just never goes away and he keeps asking that girl.
I don't like that guy. He doesn't get invited to parties anymore, right? That guy is...
So they're like, oh, he's fine. You're like, no, he's not. He's not
good. There's a borderline
he's
between.
Looking at me weird, man.
Yeah. There's a borderline between creepy and love. You know what I mean?
Scent is the line.
Yeah, so there's the part that tries to access everything. Attempts to access it, and after I initially found that, they put a disclaimer in it. That says, oh, this is to determine if we have access to it or not, to prevent it from happening on the device. So then it turns into a, well, if it doesn't do that, why do you have to prevent it?
I proactively broke into your home without your permission. just to make sure your doors and windows were okay. I just wanted to let you know. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I just want to make sure you know I've got your back. Yeah. That I'm only inside your home when you're not here because I'm worried for you.
Yeah, it's an interesting app.
Out of curiosity, did you take any of these threads further and, for example, like give it full access to all the APIs just to see what it would do next? Because I'd be darn curious. Yeah.
Okay, so the thing about TikTok is I can't figure out how to dynamically analyze it. Nobody can. Because they have SSL pinning. You know what SSL pinning is? Where they pin an SSL certificate to the app, and if it doesn't meet that SSL, it won't send data.
Yep.
So TikTok does this really, really cool thing where if you decompile the app, it creates random files that aren't supposed to be there. So you have to figure out which file doesn't exist, what isn't supposed to be there, remove that file, fix certain files, reshape them and stuff like that. And then you can fix the SSL pinning and stuff like that. But there's a function somewhere in it that if the SSL pinning isn't there, it'll only run for 6 seconds. The longest I've ever gotten it to run was 26 seconds. That's it.
Wow.
And I've done this for years. So, if somebody can figure that out, I would love to know.
I mean, I assume it's the kind of thing where you can't just, take over the memory where it's doing the check and just tell it yes to everything. But because someone smarter than me would have done that already.
Yeah, someone smarter than me would have done it too.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I respect them protecting their intellectual property as they must.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's well protected.
It's fascinating, though. The first paper you guys wrote on TikTok that went viral, what was the big find in there that really – that woke people up?
The very first one was the that's when TikTok was sending everything back to China.
Yeah.
That's when it was first noticed, and we were like, okay, well, here's all these Chinese IPs. Like, what you doing? And
people think the data was going before they knew it was going to China. No one thought about it at all. It's just like, oh, look, and millions of people are now doing this thing. And Noah's is just like, boom, it showed up overnight. It's beautiful how that happens, right? Like, yeah.
TikTok kind of came out of nowhere, too. It was originally musically, and then they bought it.
Wasn't there an app? What was that big app a couple years ago that came out with the face recognition that could turn you into an old person? And I think they did the same kind of thing. Might have been in the same.
Russian one. You're talking about Russian one.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called, but I haven't heard about that in a long time.
No, I haven't either. I just
got everyone to scan their faces for.
Yeah.
I mean, look, my face is out there already. Like, if you want it, all the angles are already available.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what? I don't know where does the passion come from, Thomas, when this TikTok thing, like, obviously you started it, and was it just kind of like a rabbit hole? Like
I was wrong.
Oh,
so I was like, okay. So I went
tell never. There are people on this planet in general. You should never tell them they are wrong. Like, don't do that. It's
Well, they taught, to be fair, I will accept if I'm wrong and I'm proven wrong.
Sure.
And fair. Then, so they told me I was wrong, and that's all they said. Like, for example, the last one, they were in a meeting for 12 hours arguing about an IP address, telling us that IANA was wrong. The whole system was wrong, and this one tool that they were using was the only thing that was right. So, where it came from is that they told me I was wrong and then couldn't prove that I was wrong.
Right.
So I kept going further to figure out why what they were trying to hide.
Right.
And now I know more about TikTok than probably some of the developers of TikTok. It's bad.
How does that make you feel, like, figuring all this stuff out on top of it around, like, or with your own privacy and stuff? Does that kind of get to you under your skin a little bit for other
sometimes.
People?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I was never actually public about what I did.
Yeah.
And the 60 Minute interview kind of made me public.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. I mean, look, we got a decent number of listeners, but that one will do it. Like, the 60
Minutes will put you. 60 Minutes made me super public. So there's not really any reason to hide anymore, I guess, right? But
yeah.
I mean, I live in, like, where I live, they would have never guessed it was just me. I'm one person. They thought I was an entire team of people. So clearly I was doing something right.
That's awesome.
But it can be nerve-wracking a little bit sometimes, yeah.
So
depends. I've gotten some weird messages and weird texts and emails and stuff. Yeah.
What's the darkest thing that, if you can talk about, what's the darkest thing that you've ever uncovered? Not even TikTok in general, just anything that you've worked with in reverse engineering. What's the darkest thing you've ever really come across?
Uncommented code.
Probably some really messed up children's sites.
Yep.
There's actually, like, kids that are, like, superstars in that world and live, like, really, really lavish lifestyles.
Like, this Lamborghinis is outside the U.S.?
Everywhere?
Just
outside.
I think people want to assume that bad things don't happen inside our country, but, man, really bad things inside our country?
Oh, it's all over the place. Like, in Florida, Florida's full of Russian money.
We're in Florida.
There's crazy stuff out there, man.
Yeah, especially I would say you're probably spot on with that. When it comes to kids in general, that's got to be probably the darkest that you can come across.
A lot of them, you'd think that they're, like, forced into it, but a lot of them live, like, ridiculously lavish lifestyles. Like, they have mansions at, like, 3, and it's messed up, but yeah, it's crazy.
Jeez.
I don't really like talking about that.
Yeah, no, you don't have to go in any further into it. I was just curious.
That's probably the worst thing that I've.
Along the lines of, you know, U.S.-centric things also, there's equally a debate around not just centering the privacy conversation on TikTok, because there are plenty of U.S. social media applications that do just as naughty things. Have you reverse engineered any of the others? Like, the fuck does TikTok do? I'm sorry. Twitter. Pardon my French. What the hell does the Twitter app do?
Twitter's actually the best app I've ever reversed.
What is best?
What do you mean by best?
So Twitter's actually really good. I like Twitter. I reversed Facebook. I reversed WeChat. I reversed Twitter. I reversed pretty much everything, every social media you can think, because I thought about that. So every social media you can think of, I'm done. And
if you have
all of them.
So stack rank them. Yeah. From most egregious. And by egregious, we're defining that in this conversation as it tries to be overly permissive in getting access to data, especially personal data. Like, top to bottom.
First is TikTok.
Yeah.
Second, probably WeChat. Third, Facebook, and fourth, Twitter. But the thing you got to realize is that Facebook and stuff doesn't need to do all of that.
Sure. Everyone gives it voluntarily.
They already have it.
Yeah,
Facebook uses cookie tracking and stuff like that. They don't need to take your data because they already have it.
You're giving it to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually not as bad as I thought then. Like if the cleanest that you've ever seen and one that you appreciate is Twitter and that's fourth on the list, then that means there's a universe between like how egregious that like TikTok is versus the rest of that.
So we did a study on Malcore has a spot that you can use phone app analysis. And we did a study on all of the social medias, Reddit, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Reddit, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok had the worst score and the most trackers in it than any other app out there. I'm at 68, I think, something like that, out of 100. And yeah, so TikTok's it's interesting.
Can you enforce the right to be forgotten with TikTok? Do we know that?
Define forgotten.
I mean, so who? The right to be forgotten would only be applicable to EU member states.
It'd be applicable to GDPR states.
Yeah.
People who are part of NATO and stuff. China's not part of NATO.
Right. So no. I'm going to go with you probably not. Can't. Yeah.
No.
I mean, they can say they'll do it, but they don't have to.
Right.
So legally speaking, they do not have to follow that information. Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense. I wanted to get your take on the high volume of AI and chatbot and all that stuff going on. Last week we did an article on a guy who actually committed suicide that was in a relationship with a third party chatbot. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. He was outside the US and committed suicide or whatever, but I just want to get your take on AI and in general, since Malcore that you invented is AI generated, and what's your take on AI the way it is now, how it's blowing up and people are like freaking out about their jobs and all that kind of stuff.
So, the thing about AI that people need to understand is somebody still has to make it. So you can't just make it and then let it go. You still have to fix the bugs. You still have to do that. You still have to make sure that it does what it's supposed to do. Like, for example, Malcore's AI didn't work for like 3 months. I have no idea why. And then it just started working one day. I was like, okay. And so things like ChatGPT and stuff, the way they do it is they just have people solve complex problems and then they tell the bot what it did.
Right.
That's how it's done. So people still have to be there in order to make it work. Right. And if you're worried about something like that taking your job, you're probably not that good of a developer.
That's fair. Do you think, I'm specifically talking about, I guess on that, let's say about like writers or content creators or like, you know, marketing people that need to make marketing tools and stuff like that. Do you think they are more at risk in the future? Yeah.
It does. I have it do all my marketing for me. It's awesome.
It is. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It makes marketing material. It makes really good marketing material. So
I actually
there's a chance that it could be used to take some people's jobs, but I think those jobs are very minuscule.
It'll probably open up more jobs, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. It'll probably create more jobs than it'll take.
Yeah.
I agree. Shall we?
What's up? Oh. I'm just curious, Thomas, just personal, let's say like, we haven't asked this question in a long time, Gabe. This would be interesting to hear from you, Thomas. So, you can kind of go back to when you created Malcore, but let's say like you're starting a company and you only have $100 budget to put into like privacy and security for that company. Where would you start with that money or that investment?
I started my company with $10. So
there you go.
We took that $10 and turned it into $500,000. So
yeah. But checkmate.
Really, really, I feel like, look, honestly, I'm not the brightest guy, clearly. I'm just somewhat decent at what I do. Mm-hmm. And if I can do it, I think anybody can. That's the way I look at it.
Just like, takes time.
I don't have a college degree. I have like two certifications. And I taught myself everything I know. So if I can do it, literally anybody can. It's just if you want to do it or not.
Yeah. That's a good point. A lot of people nowadays, I would argue most people that have a college degree or diploma or whatever, man, I'm questioning those type of people because of the things that they're arguing about. And when it comes to political stuff, it's scary, man.
Some buddies who are in college, and a lot of them tell me, like, I learn more outside of college than I do in class. So,
yes. Experience and interest. If you're interested in something and you put your head into it, like you've obviously shown, like you can do anything you want. You really can. I think it's just always that fear of like failing or whatever. But I think one of the things that people don't realize is when they're younger, it's okay to go and fail because you're going to learn from it and you're going to get, you know, that's where you get the experience.
I fail all the time, man.
That's the only way that, yeah. I mean, I would imagine, can't imagine like talking to like someone like Elon Musk, you know how many times he's failed?
Every single day is the answer. Every day.
Yeah.
Right now as we're having this conversation.
Yes. My entire job revolves around me failing.
I did not mean that as a compliment to him. Though, if it was misinterpreted as such, that was not my intent. I meant to burn. It meant to burn.
Well, so, Thomas, anything that you want to bring up about Internet 2.0, your company, anything that you want to promote, anything that we didn't touch on before we get to the last section of our episode? No? Okay. So we'll go into our deep, dark secret question fun section. This is where we dig down deep a little bit and get to know you a little bit more. Well, you kind of, I guess I'll let you answer it again, but what's your favorite taco, man? What kind of, like, you're going to make these tacos. What were you going to buy to make these tacos? What goes in them?
I'm going to buy a sirloin steak.
Okay.
Lime. I'm going to cook up the sirloin. I'm really good at cooking, so I'm going to cook up the sirloin.
There you go.
And this is going to be good, man. I don't even know what I'm going to do yet. I'm just
going to That's the thing that's awesome about tacos. They're so simple. You don't really need too many things to make them good. Are you a hot sauce kind of guy? Do you like really hot stuff?
My fiance is from Corpus Christi, Texas. So it's basically Mexico down there. So everything's hot.
Yeah. And the weather too. It's super hot over there.
My ex-wife was Colombian, so. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm used to hot.
You know some good spices.
Yeah.
This should be an interesting question for you. What is one app that you have in your phone that you have to use every day, but you absolutely dislike it?
Teams.
Yes.
Teams.
I would have to agree. It is. Why is it so much of a beast on your PC? It just takes up so much, and it's
awful. It's awful. It was made by Microsoft, so of course it's bad. But I don't know, man. There's just too much, and I don't even know why I don't like it.
Promise to reverse engineer Teams and then return to the show.
I have reverse engineered Teams, and it's actually not that bad, so I can't do that.
Fair enough.
That's good though. That's good. If you could be any superhero, what would it be and why?
I think being Superman would be kind of cool. I could fly. That'd be kind of cool. Then I don't have to buy plane tickets. Those are expensive. Yeah. So just fly.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Superman. Strong as hell. Man of Steel.
Oh, I don't care.
Be awesome.
I just want to fly.
I just want to fly. I think someone else wrote a song about that. I just want to fly.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite, what's your go-to TV show right now? What are you watching that's new that you've gotten into recently?
Designated Survivor.
Ooh, what's that?
It's about the Capitol being bombed and all the government dying and some dude ending up as the president. Some random, unqualified guy ending up as the president. It's actually really good. You should watch it.
What's this on?
It's on Netflix right now.
Is it? It's a series?
Mm-hmm.
That's super. Oh, crap. Designated, what was it again?
Designated Survivor.
Survivor, okay. I'll check it out. It sounds interesting. It kind of reminds me of, not similar, but it's, there was that one, Man in the High Castle or whatever on Amazon, where it's like, if we didn't win the war and it was reversed the other way and then into the future. Yeah. Check that one out. You might like that. It's called Men in the High Castle or something.
Ooh, I saw that.
Did you?
I watched everything. You ready? Except for the last episode.
To this day,
I have not seen the last episode. I swear to you, I just haven't yet. That
is not a condemnation of the show one way or the other. It was a great show. I just don't use. Yeah, I don't even know how I had the stamina to get there in the first place. But nonetheless, awesome show. Worth checking out. Someone should watch the last episode and let me know how it finishes the ice.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you a gamer at all, Thomas?
I play League of Legends.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that's about all I do.
Oh, man. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Obviously, you didn't have to, but seriously, man, thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us and talk a little shop. And it just was great to get to know you. And hopefully, maybe one day we'll get to bring you back on for a second episode if you discover something else with that reverse engineering. And
yeah, man, for sure. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Good pleasure. Welcome to the alumni's table. We do look forward to having you back.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Awesome, man. Well, take care and have a good week.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, guys, girls, how you doing? Cameron Ivy here. Just wanted to remind you that the RSA conference is next week from April 24th through the 27th in San Francisco at the Moscone Center. Gabe Gums and myself will be there in person in attendance. So obviously representing our companies, Gabe will be there for Miota. I will be there for Spirion, as well as representing our podcast, Privacy Please. So please come on by. Would love to see you in person. Shake your hand, give you a high five, whatever you want to do. Tell you a few jokes. Who knows? Maybe buy you a drink. Either way, we're going to be there. Hope you're there. Don't be shy. Also, don't forget, you can also join our Spirion's very own Scott Giordano. He's going to be speaking as well. So please, please, please come on out and we'd love to see you. Thanks.
Hey, you guys made it all the way to the end. Thanks for listening. Again, if this is your first time, we really appreciate the support and everyone that's always been around since the beginning. We love you guys. Keep supporting Privacy Please, and we'll always have new content each and every week. Cameron Ivy, over and out.